All right. Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday before Easter Sunday, 2025. We're glad that everybody's here. If we could clear the foyer and get everybody in here, we'll get started. But let's grab the blue hymnal, the Heavenly Highway Hymn songbook, and turn to an old number. Everybody should know this by heart. 35, Blessed Assurance. Amen. Enjoy that song. I appreciate the assurance that the Holy Spirit gives us about the condition of our soul and of a home in heaven. And while we're thinking on that line, let's turn over to number 241 and sing another old song. No, not one. 241. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Ms. Rachel, for the good singing this morning and playing. We are glad to see each and every one out this morning for our service. Today is what we kind of consider a special service. In a Baptist church, anytime you have meal, it's a special service. And we'll call it our Easter dinner is what we'll call it. We do it the week before because many families like to get together on Easter, but we do ours a week before, and that way the church can celebrate it, and plus we can just have a blessing of being together one with another. I've talked with a lot of preachers, especially lately, and we've got on this subject quite a bit, and the point of fellowship with our churches, pastors, getting to have the opportunity to learn people and know them better is what it's always a good thing. Anytime you can spend some time with the church members, it's good for the pastor. Well, that goes for the church members too. Now, I realize you've probably got family here, and you can say, "Well, I know them and everything." But how many new people do we have in our midst today that hadn't? What we'll say wasn't here last year, or the year before. Now, what do you know about them? Well, you see, part of being a good church is knowing those people and just loving them for who they are. And that's one of the things that I think we need to emphasize more in our churches is trying to know one another, loving one another, praying for their needs. Sometimes, I'll just say it this way. There was a need in our church by somebody that was coming to our church, and I didn't know about it until this past week. And I just thought, Lord help, I'm so thankful that I get to hear about it because now I can pray. So you see, sometimes people don't know about a need until you tell them. And so that's part of getting to know one another and loving one another in that way. And I just want us to keep praying one for another. Let's pray for that need that I was talking about while ago, but it's needful that we just continue to pray for one another. Physically, how many of us has had ailments over the last, we'll say even few months? It's good to see Brother Slick and Miss Barbara back with us today. I think he said it had been 5 weeks since they've been able to come to church after his surgery. Glad they're able to be with us today. Some others have had this problem and that problem. I hear people talk about family problems at times. These are physical problems, right? But then there's that part that we need to pray for one another spiritually. We need to pray for them about their love being increased, their faith being increased. That's what Brother Stewart talked about in our lesson today, about our faith being increased one with another. And some of them would probably say, well, I'm too young. I don't have to worry about that. Mom and Daddy will take care of having faith. No, our young church members need to have faith in the Lord, not just for salvation. Some of them been saved, but they need to have faith that they can serve the Lord too. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Even for us old ones. But we need to pray for these young ones that they'll grow into the church members that this church needs. That's what we need to be doing. So let's pray for them. Then we need to pray for those that are not saved. Oh, I look around and I see faces of ones that I know's not saved. You know what? I'm praying for you. And you as a church, we need to take time to pray for them. Well, I need a hush. I got wound up just for a moment there. It's good to see each and every one with us today. We want to move right along with the service. As I said, we'll have a lunch here in a few minutes. We are going to go ahead and have our business meeting right after church. We'll let everybody go out. Those that wants to stay in for the business meeting will be able to do that. But then we'll have lunch afterwards. Just be patient. We'll try our best to get done within the first hour and a half. No, it won't take that long. Probably no more than 20 minutes or so is probably what it'll be. But just everybody be patient, and we'll have our dinner, and we'll have a good time of fellowship. But right now, we want to just remind everyone to be prayerful one for another. We're going to go into our children's church. Brother Tom is going to be leading in our children's church this morning. Everybody pray for him. And I think he's going this way,
over
kids.
Here. Emily picked this side, so we'll do this side. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, Cohen. Hey, Luke. You're getting big. All right. So I've got two verses for you guys today. We're going to start out with one, then talk about some things, and then finish with another. So I just kind of want to set the stage. And I forgot my Bible, so I had to use a spare, and I used a tissue for a bookmark. How do you like that? You just got to be creative. Okay, the first verse that I want to read to you is in the book of James. It's the first chapter, and it's the 17th verse, and it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." But what I want you to remember is every good and perfect gift cometh from God. So this is kind of, we're getting into the Easter season, aren't we? So today is Palm Sunday. That's the day that we remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and he rode on a donkey, and everybody said, "Hosanna," and they laid down palm leaves. And it was the only time that he was here that he really got to be close to what he was, a king. That's the only time that he really got recognized, other than the people who were saved and knew about him. We think about this time of year, a lot of times we think, well, this is the Easter season and this is the resurrection. But today I'm going to talk to you kind of about what we think on a different holiday, and that is Thanksgiving. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Is anybody having turkey next week? No, I didn't think so. But the point that I want to make to you is that we should always be thankful for everything that God has given us. Raise your hands if you are blessed. Everybody up here is so blessed. Everybody out here is so blessed. Have you ever had a hard day and you just feel like, oh, everything's going wrong? Yeah, I have those a lot of days. But you know what? If we just step back and we look around at all of the gifts that God has given us, all the blessings, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Even the air we breathe, the food we eat, the home that we live in, those are gifts from God that he has given us to provide for our needs. So at our house, when we say our prayers at night, we say our prayers, and then Ben and Sarah and Emily all go around, and we call them gratefuls. And so everybody says just one thing from that day that they're grateful for. And so I thought we might do gratefuls today, if you want to. Nobody has to speak if you don't want to say anything. But does anybody want to say a grateful? Think about one thing that you're grateful for. If you do, just raise your hand. Callie? Your family. Yes. What a blessing a family is that God has given us. Anybody else? Sarah?
2017.
2017? Is that when you were born? I'm grateful for myself. Anybody else? Gwen?
I'm grateful for myself.
Yes. Well, I'm grateful for you, too. I'm grateful for all of you. Anybody else want to turn? Okay. Well, the point is that God has given us so many things to be thankful of. And as we're in this Easter season, there's one thing that we can really be thankful of, and that is Jesus. We can be thankful for his sacrifice for us. I'm sure in Sunday school, if not this week, maybe next week, we'll be learning about what Jesus did and how he went to the cross and had to suffer and die that we might be saved, but then how he rose again from the dead. That's something that I'm really thankful for. And I know you all are too. So the last verse I want to close out is a simple one, and this is from Paul. And he just says, if I can find it, and I should have it memorized, but I don't. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So everybody stand up, and we'll just say part of it. In everything, give thanks.
In everything, give thanks.
That was pretty good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brother Tom. A good lesson for our young ones. I think sometimes I'm not near as grateful for things as I should be. But I'm thankful for the times that I am grateful and give thanks. And so it's a good lesson for our young people today. Let's teach our children to be grateful, to give thanks for all things. Even when they're mad at us, to give thanks for us too. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. It's good to see each and every one here today. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Go ahead. Lord, help you. Lord, help you. Just remember this. We appreciate our prayers, don't we? Somebody else. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bless you. Yes, sir. Bless you, Brother Slick. Good to have you back with us today. I noticed Brother Sonny and Miss Linda come in too today. They hadn't been able to be with us also. Good to have them with us today. Somebody else. Bless you, Brother Leslie. Sorry to hear about your sister passing like that. I know that was hard on y'all. We do need to continue to remember he and the family in this in our prayers. Somebody else. Go ahead. Let's remember this also. Somebody else. Lord, help. Remember this also. Somebody else. I'm going to give you a quick praise report. Some of you may have heard this. I don't know if Paul mentioned it earlier or not, but I mentioned a couple weeks ago a former church member of ours up at Old Macedonia. Her husband needed a liver. No, it was two kidneys, one kidney and two lung transplants. I said, pray that they'd be one found. Saturday morning, I believe, or Friday morning, they had a donor. And he got all three of them yesterday. And so I haven't heard from him today, but that's how God works. That's how he works through our prayers. And that's what I want you to keep in mind today as you go to the Lord in prayer. Somebody else have a prayer request. We won't call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way is what we want you to do. It's just praying. You've heard these prayer requests. You probably had one on your heart that you wanted to be prayed for, but you didn't mention it. Pray for them. But like I said, let's especially remember these that are unsaved. Let's pray that the Lord will get into their hearts very strongly and draw them to him that they can be saved. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray. Brother Sam, I feel like you are, Talisa. Go ahead. Yes. Lord help.
Please be seated. Thank you. Continue to sing. Number 237. 237. I am thine. Since we have a longer service today and lunch, we're going to cut our singing short, but do one more number, 106. As we think of this week and today and the Lord being on the cross many years ago at Calvary, 106.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Good to see everyone again today. I may have forgotten to say welcome to our visitors. Some are new faces today, and we're thankful for you being here today. And I hope and pray that God blesses you greatly in this service today. And I just ask that you pray right along with us today in this service. And pray that the Lord will bless. As I said, we'll have lunch after service today. I'll ask you to give the ladies opportunity to get everything set up and ready. Like I said, we're going to be doing our business meeting. That's our usual time is on the second Sunday to do our business meeting, and it shouldn't last real long, but I want you to keep that in mind today. And if you don't want to sit in the business meeting, you're welcome to stand out in the foyer or even back in the fellowship hall and wait until time for the lunch to be served at that time is what you're welcome to do. We just ask that you be prayerful and pray that the Lord will bless today in this service. Let's take a little bit of time, though, to worship the Lord today. That's what I want us to do. We need to worship Him. Brother Stewart made a statement in his Sunday school class, and when he made the statement, I thought I'd never really put it in that statement in that way. He said that was probably one of the few times that Jesus got to enjoy what he actually was. He was recognized in that day of what we call Palm Sunday, the day when he went into Jerusalem, and they cut down the palm leaves and throwed their clothes in the way, and they started crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, and praising God for Jesus, saying He is the King of Kings. Now, when you think about it in that way, that didn't last long, did it? It was just a matter of hours before someone started trying to get away of persecuting him, even betraying him, and then putting him to death. So he had a short-lived victory. Excuse me. He had a short-lived victory in that day that ended up in what many of us would say ended up in tragedy. But it was victory, was what it was. So let's keep that in mind throughout this coming week. My message today is not going to be on this matter. I want you to turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. Sixth chapter of the book of Daniel is where we're going to take a reading lesson today. This is a reading lesson. Now, I've only got one verse. So I want you to think about the story that you heard as a child, how that Daniel was cast into the lion's den. That's not the message, though. Remember that Daniel had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian, after that the Babylonian Empire fell to the Medes and Persians. Darius was made king, and Daniel found favor in their eyes. That's the best way to put it. He found favor in their eyes, so much so that he was made just under the king as far as ruler in that area. A matter of fact, all of those men, they called them presidents according to the scripture here, and all of them answered to Daniel. In other words, he wasn't a Mede or a Persian, he was a Hebrew, and he found so much favor in them that the king made him the next under the king. Well, what happens when things like that happen? Somebody got jealous. Matter of fact, every one of them got jealous. They started conspiring. You know, we have conspiracies all the time. People are trying to bring up things against the president, whether it's this one or the one before or the one after, there'll always be conspiring. There's people even plotting to take their lives is what usually is going on. But these men wanted Daniel out is basically what they wanted. And they looked at him and they said, there's only one way that we can do anything to him to bring him down, and it would be concerning his God. So they went to the king and they said, O king, live forever. They wanted to build him up real quick. They wanted to build him up and they said, O king, you're a great and mighty king. I'm paraphrasing. You're a great and mighty king. We don't think the people of this nation are to put up any kind of prayer or any kind of request to anyone else or even to another god except for you, O king, for 30 days now. That's all they wanted, just 30 days. And his head got swollen, I believe. He got in his pride and he thought, man, they're building me up and I think this is a good idea. So he signed it into law. Now, I want you to read verse 10 with me. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Aforetime is the actual word. In other words, just like he'd been doing, that was his habit. And even though that he knew that this law was put into place, he went ahead and prayed. I heard a little interview this week, and it was old. It was a man who had lost his son during the Columbine shooting. The high school, you remember, really that was the first big high school mass shooting in America. Out there in Colorado, and this man was before Congress, and the actual statement said they got something they were not expecting. And I bet they did. Because that man said, you took prayer out of school, but my son was praying when he was shot. I want you to think about that. That kind of goes along with Daniel here today. Even though that he knew that it was going to cause him to be cast into a den of lions, he went ahead and prayed, didn't he? Just like he had beforehand. At 3 times a day, I'm guessing when he got up in the morning, he opened that window and he prayed. About lunchtime, he went in there and he knelt down and he prayed. Probably sometime late in the day before he would go to bed, he prayed. Now, my title of my message today is, Are You Praying? That's what the Lord gave me the other day. Are you praying today? I talked a lot about praying in my preliminaries. Didn't plan on doing that. Thought I was going to keep on. I got my message. But the idea is today, are you praying in your life today? I want you to keep this in mind today. How much do you pray? How often do you pray, in other words? How long a prayer do you pray? It doesn't matter how long you pray. I've seen some people over the years, they could pray and pray and pray. I remember meeting an old man that was up there in my county. He didn't go to my church, but they said it was nothing uncommon if they called on Brother Will Farmer that he would pray for an hour. My goodness. But they said he got in the spirit. I met him one time when he was in the nursing home, and I got to hear him pray up there one day. He only prayed for maybe 10 minutes that day, but Lord, he put his heart into the prayer, and the Lord blessed him as he was praying, and God just gave him something wonderful, and it is a blessing to me to hear that prayer that he prayed. I want you to think about your prayers today. Are you praying today? I'm of the opinion all prayers do not have to be an hour long. Actually, they don't have to be 30 minutes, 20 minutes. They don't have to be 10, 5, whatever. It's the idea you give your heart to prayer. Now, I'm going to use this as an example. I'm blessed to have a grandson down here, and I'm going to say you'd be hard-pressed to pray a faster blessing than he does. He says, Lord, thank you for the food. Amen. But he's thankful in that prayer. That's what he has been taught. Now, I'm going to give you the other side of coin on this. A few weeks ago, we called on him to pray the blessing. And I was expecting his usual prayer. But he prayed for about a minute long. He thanked the Lord for different things. You see, prayer is us putting our supplications, our desires out to the Lord is what it's doing. Now, I want to give you a quick example of some people in the Bible that prayed, and I want you to take them as an example today. I want you to take them as an example of how you ought to pray. Daniel, first of all, he was a man that prayed three times a day. He prayed when it even wasn't convenient for him, but he prayed is what he did. The other example I want to give you is Jesus himself. Most of the people would kind of look at Jesus and they would probably say, well, he was God. He was the Son of God. Why did he need to talk to God about his needs? But he set the example for us while he was here on this earth, and he kept praying to God all the way through. You see the final prayer that we see in the Bible was when that he went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he got down and prayed there, and his prayer was so strong, so fervent in him. They said that his sweat was like great drops of blood. Now that's a man that is talking to God in a strong manner. He was sweating so much is what he was doing. You see, Jesus in his moment and in that time, he was praying fervently to his Father. I don't blame him one bit. He knew the suffering that he was fixing to go through. You might say, well, how would he know? He was God. He knew that he'd already talked about that he was going to be delivered up. He told his disciples about it, that he was going to be delivered up, that he was going to be hanged up on a tree, that he would suffer through all of these things. If they told you you was going to suffer in your life, would you not pray about it? How many of you had a surgery in the last few years? And before you went into surgery, you said a prayer to God because you wanted the Lord to help you in that moment. Maybe it was a loved one that you had going into surgery. Maybe some accident had it happened. And what did you do? You started talking to God about that. That's where you need to go, following the example of God, of Jesus himself, talking to God about that matter. Yes, Jesus at that moment in time, he was dreading what he was going to go through, and he petitioned our God on his behalf and said, Lord, if there's any other way, is basically what he said. Lord, if there's any other way that these people can be saved, Lord, just let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. That's our Lord's example to us. It's hard for us when we have loved ones that are sick. It's hard for us when we have loved ones that are going through things, when we're going through troubles and trials in our lives. It's hard for us to get into that place where we say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I want us to keep that in mind today as we're praying and as we're thinking about praying. Are you praying today? I want you to know I feel your prayers today for me. While I'm calling upon the Lord, while I'm preaching to you today, I think every one of you can say in those times of need that you've had and you've called upon somebody and you asked them to pray. Maybe it was a church. Maybe it was a group of people. And you were starting to go through your journey. What'd you start to feel? You started feeling the prayers. I've heard many people, especially in the last few years, oh, I could feel your prayers coming through. That's why our prayers are important today. Now, I want to give you another quick example here. I believe David was probably one of the more praying men of the Bible. You might disagree with me. You might think that maybe somebody else was. But David, in the fifth chapter of the book of Psalms, yeah, it was a song, but it was a prayer. Have you ever sung a prayer to the Lord? Yeah, I have a few times. I had a desire. I even knew songs that were prayer-like. But David sung this, and he said in his prayer, in just a quick portion of verse 3, he said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Yet in the morning is a good time to pray. I hear people say it on a regular basis. When I wake up in the morning, I start to thank the Lord just for letting me wake up. A lot of young people are kind of saying, why are they praying like that? When you get older, you'll start to understand that. You will. You'll start to understand that death is getting closer to you. And maybe you've had little problems here and there. And you start to just say, Lord, thank you for hearing me. So when you wake up in the morning, it's a privilege just to wake up in the morning. But David said, my voice, he said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now I want you to first get one part. He said, I will direct. In the mornings when your mind is fresh, or at least it should be, I'll say it that way, we ought to be talking to God. We haven't got as many distractions yet first thing in the morning, do we? You know, David had, he had people chasing him that wanted to put him to death. I don't think any of us is that bad of shape. We haven't got somebody chasing us wanting to kill us. David had made the statement not too long right after this. He said, there's but a step between me and death. So David, in the morning, he said, I will direct my prayer, my thoughts, my desires towards the Lord in that day, is what he's saying. And then he says, I will look up. When you pray, now we customarily, we get down on our hands and knees, and that's a good thing for us to do. It shows our humbleness. But some of my most blessed times of praying, and I don't want to build myself up, but some of my most blessed times is when I get out in the yard and I start looking up, and I see God's creation, the stars that he put in place, and I start thinking about how small I am, and I start looking at those things, but I also want to look past the stars. I won't look past the moon. Oh, they say they're light years away. But, you know, I look past that to see God, to see where he's at, and that he might listen to my prayers. Are you praying? Oh, how often do you pray? How often do you say, Lord, help me in these days? You know, that's a simple prayer right there. Lord, help me. If somebody says, oh, I've got this problem, will you pray for me? What do you usually do? Do you usually fall down on your knees and start praying for them? That's a good thing to do. But most of the time, we'll put out just a very small prayer, Lord, help me in this way. You know, as a sinner, my prayer was, it was not that, but it was close to that. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be left alone. That's not much of a prayer, but that was the kind of prayer that God heard from me. What I'm trying to say is, what are you praying? When are you praying? How often are you praying? Are you praying is basically what I'm trying to get over to us today in this service. I want you to think about another one. A lot of people, I've heard it said over the years, oh, women can't pray. Y'all ever heard that? Us older ones have. But if you go back in the Bible, you can find different women that was praying women. Oh, I'm thankful that I grew up with praying women that would pour their hearts out to the Lord on my behalf. The day that I realized that I was lost and I was willing to go seek the Lord the first time, I didn't get saved. But I got out on my bicycle that afternoon and I rode up the road. We called her Miss Cat, Catherine Rigsby. I don't think I told. I don't think I told anybody else that I was lost. But I told her, and she said, Lord, honey, I'm going to pray for you. In the scripture, we don't talk about this lady a lot. We usually talk about how that when Jesus, after that he was born, and we'll talk about how that Simeon came and he done said, Lord, let me, the Lord's going to show me his salvation before I die. And when he saw the baby Jesus come in, nobody told him, he said, this is the Christ child, basically. But there was another person there. And that woman's name, as the scripture gives it to us, she came to him, Anna was her name. And what they say about her was that she'd been a widow for 67 years. She was an old woman, wasn't she? But she'd spent her life at the temple, both fasting and praying is what she did. And she lifted up the name of the Lord, the baby, Jesus, too. Women can pray, can't they? I think that Samaritan woman, when that she met Jesus out there and she'd gotten saved there at the Jacob's well, and she left her water pots and she went back into the city, said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Do you not think she was praying for her friends, her loved ones, for the people of the city? Do you not think she was praying for them? How often do you pray? What do you pray? When are you praying? Are you praying? That's my thought today. Are you praying? Now, I want you to see some one other one before I move on with this thought here today. The Scripture gives us a record of, in the book of Acts, if we can get over there, in the 10th chapter of Acts. There was a man, he was a Gentile. He was Gentile by the name of Cornelius. And Cornelius, he'd heard enough about the Lord that I believe he wanted to get saved. He not only wanted to get saved, he wanted everybody in his family to get saved. And the Scripture said that he prayed often. You know, I prayed for better than 3.5 years while I was lost before I ever got saved. You as a sinner, you can pray to the Lord and he'll help you with what he'll do. Now, Cornelius in that day, he'd been praying and the Lord gave him a little vision. I figure a dream is what it was. And he said, you send over to Joppa and there's a man over there that can tell you about me. And he sent his servants to him. He done been praying about this. Lord, give me a way. You've heard me talk about that boy in Florida said, surely there's more to being religious than what we've been taught in our religion. Surely there's more there. Then he went on but Cornelius, he followed what the Lord instructed him to do. And he sent for that man. He found a man by the name of Peter that had also got a vision. And he came straight to Cornelius' house. And when he got there, he said, why have you sent for me? In verse 31 of the 10th chapter, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. That's verse 30. In 31 it says, and said Cornelius, Peter says, and thy prayer is heard. It wasn't Peter saying that, that was the Lord saying. You know what that man did? That man's name was Peter, an apostle, a preacher. And he began to speak to them about Jesus, about his resurrection, about how that he came back to life, how he died for their sins and all. Oh, he was preaching to them. And you know what? The Holy Ghost fell on them. They got saved. They all got, the whole household got saved. Have you got lost ones in your house? Huh? Have you? Or have you got children that's run off to something else? Have you got people in your family that needs the Lord? Start praying like Cornelius did. And you get humble enough and you pray enough and you believe enough, God will answer that prayer. Now, let me finish off with this. I'm going to the book of Colossians, first chapter, and I got a few verses, and I'm going to close this out. I don't worry your patience too much. I hope I haven't. Paul prays a prayer in the first chapter of Colossians. We wouldn't think about that, would we? He's writing a letter to them, but he writes his prayer for them there. Now, what I'm going to say to you here is, I told you earlier, pray for one another. This is a good start, a good example. Jesus gave us the model prayer is what I call it. When he prayed in the 5th chapter of Matthew, he gave us a good model prayer. Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter. That's a good model for us to take a good look at as far as prayer is concerned. But in this first chapter, if you start with verse 9, Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. You ever get where you just can't quit praying? He said, I don't cease praying for you. He said, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, that's my prayer for y'all. It is. I want you to be filled with that spirit of understanding, knowledge, faith, trust in God. I want you to be filled with it. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks. Right into what Brother Tom taught the kids today. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. In other words, we are the example to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Have you been praying? Oh, yeah, I pray. Most of us pray when we get in trouble. Somebody's doing us wrong, we'll start praying. Somebody gets sick, we start praying. What do we generally do when maybe somebody pulls out in front of us and it gets close? Oh, Lord, that's praying. Should that be the only time we pray? I'm afraid that the vast majority of people that are saved, that's when they pray. You as this church, I hope today, you'll set aside a little more time to pray. Whether it's like David in the mornings, you set aside time to pray. I used to pray on my way to work. I had a certain spot in the road that when I got there, radio would go down, I'd turn it off, and I'd start praying. Maybe it's when you get up. Maybe it's some other time in the morning. Maybe it's when you're eating your food. Maybe it's at night before you go to bed and you say your prayers. Add a little more praying time to it is what I'm going to ask you to do today. One more time. And don't make it a quick prayer. Just tell the Lord what you got on your mind. You know, he likes to hear what you've got on your mind. What's bothering you? How much you want to do something else? Maybe it's how much you want your children to be saved, grandchildren to be saved. Maybe it's one of those things. Maybe it's an illness you have you want taken care of. Just take one more time to tell the Lord what you got on your mind and on your heart. And he'll listen. He'll listen. If you don't watch him, he'll answer you too. May not be orally, but he'll answer you. Brother Sam, that's my message today. Thank you for your attention today. I want us to stand. If you've got something on your heart today and you want to pray up here at this altar, it's a good time to pray. If you're a sinner and you need to get saved and you know it right now, oh, Lord, there's no better time than like right now to pray. Just pray. While we stand and sing.
213. 213.